If the economy's so fine, what's with all these layoff announcements? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Did you catch that, quote, mid-cycle adjustment? That's what the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell called his team's decision yesterday to decrease interest rates slightly by 0.25%, that despite an economy that is in some ways booming. On Thursdays, we get some analysis from Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it is a subtle art. Chairman Powell has to explain why, when the economy looks okay, that he's cutting interest rates. And he does it very much in public.
The last time the Federal Reserve had to deal with this kind of issue, an insurance cut against the economy doing poorly down the road, we actually didn't have press conferences. They just put out a statement, and that was it. And there weren't very many words in it either. And I think the hard part is that they're having to explain the difference between the nuance of the art of what they're doing and the science of what they're doing, and it's both. And at the end of the day, I think we could almost use a little less information from the Fed because it just ended up confusing instead of clarifying.
Just remind us, back in 1997, there was one of these insurance cuts?
Exactly. We had what was called the Thaibaut crisis, and the markets went crazy, and the Federal Reserve did several cuts. It was easier in those episodes to understand what was going on because we had the backdrop of a collapsing financial market behind us. The difference today is what the Fed is trying to deal with is what they don't know is going to happen on the next move in trade policy.
And again, to remind ourselves, in the old days, the Federal Reserve didn't do a news conference and take the reporters' questions. These days, I guess since Bernanke, that's what we do.
Exactly. This is where, you know, we're seeing transparency is seeing the sausage being made, and it's a little too much for all of us to see.
Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And bolstering yesterday's case for the interest rate cut, word this morning, layoff announcements are up. Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports.
The unemployment rate is hovering around a 50-year low, but some companies are shedding jobs.
Even in sort of the best of times, there is a lot of churn in the job market that I think is really underappreciated.
Economist Josh Bivens at the left-leaning Economic Policy Institute says overall businesses have been hiring more than they're firing, but
as the economy slows, you should expect to see an uptick of layoffs.
And a new report from employment consultancy Challenger, Gray & Christmas shows that so far in 2019, companies have announced layoffs of 36% more workers than by this time last year. The automotive and industrial goods sectors have shed the most jobs. Part of that, says Andy Challenger at Challenger, is the trade war.
Certainly a slowdown in global growth, an increase in tensions amongst our foreign trading partners has created a difficult environment for some of these manufacturers.
The Labor Department will shed more light on how those layoffs affect the overall unemployment rate when it releases its latest jobs report tomorrow. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
You know those talking speakers you can buy? OK Google Play, Cardi B. Well, they're not just for music. They'll blurt out news, weather, jokes. And like so much technology, these units both shape and are shaped by culture. At a recent interactive voice conference in Newark, New Jersey, I spoke to Allison Greenberg, CEO of a company called Aflow, a brand consultant that designs interactive voice experiences. We were both floored by a UN report that predicts that within 5 years, we'll be talking to synthesized voices more than we talk to our partners. Ms. Greenberg, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
There is some striking research from the United Nations that really grabbed your attention.
Yeah, the UN report released in May of this year, 2019, was stating that the gender bias we all know is alive and well, unfortunately, in 2019, is being replicated from the physical world into the digital world by AI. And so smart speakers and assistants, which are predominantly female, so Alexa, Siri, Cortana, are encouraging us to issue orders to women.
And you can just imagine, in the privacy of somebody's car, a guy barking commands at, you know, it's an electronic device, Alexa or Siri. But you can imagine a kind of tone that's adopted. And it sounds like among your concerns is, how does that percolate out into the real world?
This sort of shift into what's appropriate and what's not. You know, it's not appropriate to issue orders to a woman you've never met. But that's what we're doing with Alexa.
So in your work at Aflow, you design conversations so that if someone addresses one of these units, the conversation makes sense. How do you incorporate this thinking about, for instance, gender bias into the way you would design a conversation?
Well, it's easy to incorporate this thinking when you're a woman. So we just aren't interacting with very many AI systems or assistants that were built by women. But my co-founder is a man, Seth Miller. He represents the male perspective. And so by being 50-50, along with other members of our team who are of different genders and of different races, we're able to be inclusive by being representative. So that's one way to do it. And the second way is our philosophy of conversation design, which is circular conversation design. And you'll see a lot of conversations with something like Alexa are built in a linear way. They're actually mapped out when they're designed in a decision tree.
Do you want to play a game? Yes. Which of these two games? You choose. Okay, let's get started. Sounds linear.
Exactly. So what you just mentioned is an easier way to build a conversation. However, it's not an accurate way to build a conversation. So at Aflow, we call it circular conversation design because we're designing for the kinds of conversations like the one you and I are having now, right? We could talk about gender. We could talk about weather. We could talk about the industry at large. There's a whole circle of options, and we can get on and get off anywhere you like.
Allison Greenberg, co-founder and CEO of Aflow, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Disclosure, Marketplace works with Amazon on our Make Me Smart Alexa prompt. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.